So when we last left off, we were discussing last week that David HaMelech was in big trouble, right? This goes back for a whole bunch of weeks for us. What does it go back? Well, we discussed that first and foremost, David HaMelech a long time ago, he went and he had a relationship with Bathsheba. He shouldn't have done that. And then afterwards, they asked him, what should be the punishment be for this? And he turned around and he ended up saying, whoever did such a thing should be punished four times over. So they said, that's you. And he got four punishments. And we've discussed the first three punishments. We're now up to the fourth punishment. Again, the second, the third, the fourth are all related to each other. Amnon meets Tamar. So Avshalom kills Amnon. And now David, because of how he reacted to Avshalom, David is going to be, David has been run out of town by his son. And now Avshalom's coming to Yerushalayim. When Avshalom gets to Yerushalayim, he's going to take over. And David realizes this would have been a losing battle. So because of that, David HaMelech is on the run. David HaMelech and a few hundred of his closest friends who realize that they would have been in trouble, they make a run for it. He just leaves behind a few of his concubines to watch the house. But he himself is on the run at this point. And we discussed last time that Marsha would like to wish Larry a mazel tov on his grandson's bar mitzvah.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Right. Marsha, I got your back. And you know, we said that David, even though he was on the run, he was setting up things that, you know, that there'll be a possibility. One is Hushai Ha'arki, who was a good friend of David's, wanted to join him. David said, don't. Better you should go and sign up for the other team and be a spy for me. Similarly, the sons of the Kohen Gadol were told that if there's any messages, that any information that would be useful, you guys deliver it to me. And so Hushai Ha'arki is going to try to get information. And in the event that he has information, he's going to pass it along to his friends, right, the sons of the Kohen Gadol, who are going to bring it back. Okay, Perek Tes Zayin. So the David Avar Ma'at Meharosh V'Neitziva Nar Mifi Boshes L'Kroso V'Tzemer Chamarim Chavushim V'Aleya Masayim Lechem U'Meya Tzimukim U'Meya Kayet V'Nevel Yayim. As David is on the run, he runs into Tziva. Who was Tziva? We met Tziva once before. And we said this story of Tziva, we're going to have to remember, right? If you remember that David, at one point when he became king, he decided, you know what, I should really do a favor for a remnant of Yonasan, a remnant of Shaul, because he had promised that he would always take care of Yonasan's family. And he finds that there is this son, Mephibosheth, was being saved at the time that the Pelishtim came. He was a young lad at the time. He was dropped. He's now lame. And when David sees him, he says, I'm going to take care of him. And there was this guy who was a slave of Shaul's, Tziva. Tziva, if you remember, he himself had slaves, and he himself also had able-bodied sons. And David announced that everything that belonged to Shaul now goes to Mephibosheth. So Tziva at the time, we pointed out, was the big loser here. Tziva, who had taken over after Shaul had died, this same Tziva who in fact turned around and he was running the whole show. Now he's told by David, you know what? You've got to get out. And it all goes back to Mephibosheth, the son of Yonasan, the grandson of Shaul.
But this property belongs to Mephibosheth, not to Tziva. So he's taking stuff that doesn't belong to him.
Correct. So again, what David did is he straightened things out. He said, really, this really belongs to Mephibosheth, and Tziva, you should give it to him. And Tziva says, fine. With that background, let's hear what goes on now. So now, David runs into Tziva. And Tziva's waiting for him, and he's got donkeys, right? And on them, he's got loaves of bread. And he's got dried fruits, and he's got a barrel of wine, and he's waiting for David. Vayomer Hamelech El Tziva, Ma Eilu Lach. So David, so he says to Tziva, what is this? Vayomer Tziva, Hachomrim Lebeis Hamelech Yerkov, Valechem Vakayis Leachol Anearim, Vayayim Lishtot Hayeifa Mibar. Says it's for you. Why should you be running? I brought you some vehicles. You have some donkeys, right? You people are hungry, I imagine. I brought some bread. I brought some fruit. You're probably thirsty. I brought all this to help you out, he says. So David asked the obvious question. Vayomer Hamelech Vayei Ben Adonecha. Vayomer Tziva El Hamelech Hine Yoshev Yerushalayim. Ki Amar Hayom Yoshiv Ali Beis Yisrael Esvam Lachus Avim. He said, well, what happened to your boss, Mephibosheth? And Mephibosheth, he's sitting in Yerushalayim. He's loving what's going on. He says, David's out. The people are going to bring back the monarchy of Shaul. And who's next in line? Me? So what is Tziva saying? Tziva's saying that my boss is a rebel. But I don't listen to my boss, David. I care about you. So David says, well, if that's what Mephibosheth does to me, after I treated him so well, I back out on what it said, and using my eminent domain as the king, I hereby take everything that used to belong to Shaul, that I gave to Mephibosheth, and I give it all back to you. That's that.
I thought David was a more astute individual. You know, he accepts Tziva's statement without the verification.
So you think Tziva's lying?
Yeah.
What do you think actually happened?
I would assume that, you know, Tziva seems to be a guy that is a wheeler and dealer. So I would assume that, you know, he's... If Trump is there, he's on Trump's side. And Biden is there, he's on Biden's side.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that this is a guy, you don't trust him for nothing.
I say that this guy, Tziva, is a dealer wheeler. And David, who is supposed to be of the highest level, should say, listen, if this is true, what you say, then.
Right.
Rather than saying, well, this, you know, he's making a, it's like make, you're a judge. So it's he's true. Making a ruling on the opinion of one person. You know, this
not
guy cheated
that.
Me. So
not only that, but it's the opinion of one person with the other person not even being there.
Right. So exactly. So
expert communication, as those of us who speak Latin say.
Huh?
Right. So in fact, you have strong support, the Gemara. Says what you say.
Well, you know, I'm glad that there are some people that agree with me. Sorry.
Right. Finally. So you see, look at the Gemara, number one on the source sheet.
I don't have that worksheet.
So let me see. Maybe I'll put it up because I actually send it out beforehand. And Shlomo said he would send it out. But,
well, he may have sent it out. Probably sent it out only locally to the Denver people. You know, anything
it's true. It probably got stuck at the Mississippi. I hear that.
The Dixie line, you know, it just becomes the. Right.
Now I think you're both on the same side of the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah, it's around Kentucky, I think, huh? But Tennessee.
No, it's by. I thought it was
Baltimore. Maybe it's about Baltimore.
Baltimore, right?
Yeah, but that, I'm not in Baltimore now. I'm south of there.
That's what I'm saying. But I think Denver's also probably south of the Mason-Dixon. That's what I would think.
I don't think the Mason extended that far at the time.
Right. That's right. Neither Mr. Mason nor Mr. Dixon.
Correct.
Okay. So I will try to share it here. That's not what I want. There we go. Okay. Now I've learned all these Zoom skills. You know, it's a shame that life will get back to normal. Okay.
Oh, now I see it. Shmuel. There he is.
There he is.
It's Tchias HaMesim, Shmuel 11 Beis.
How do you like that? Remember, Shmuel had one Tchias HaMesim at the end of the last book when the Balas Ov brought him back? Another curtain call.
Somebody's been writing this stuff for him. I don't know who's been writing this.
Nah, he just has a lot of time on his hands now. He does it himself. So, let's take a look at the first source. Rav Omar, Kibo David Lashon Hara. David was accepted Lashon Hara. That's exactly what Cantor Cole said. He said, this guy Tziva was a liar from the beginning. Originally said to Tziva, who's Mephibosheth? He says, yeah, Erez Agornisht. And then he came back and he sees that he's really a very impressive fellow. So David should have known that Tziva was a liar. My time a kibul mine. He says, I don't understand. So therefore, when he's speaking Lashon Hara about him now and saying, oh, he doesn't care about you. He's in Yerushalayim. As it says, Siva Melech, Vaye ben Adonech, Vayom Ratziva Amelech, Hine Yosheb Yerushalayim. Right? He says that. And how do we know David believed him? Mada kibul mine, Diksiv. He said, yeah, take everything that Mephibosheth had. So therefore, it seems from here that Rav is of the opinion that Cantor Kol said that he accepted Lashon Hara and he shouldn't have. Ushmuel amar lo kibel David Lashon Hara, dvar mani karim chazebe. He said, no, it wasn't that he accepted the Lashon Hara, but he had reason to suspect that Mephibosheth was up to no good. As it says, the Ksiv, Mephibosheth ben Shaul Yara Likras Hamelech, V'lo Asa Ragla, V'lo Asa Svama, V'es Begod of Lo Kibes. Why? When David's going to come into Mephibosheth, so we're going to come into this story a third time, Mephibosheth is not going to be wearing his finest when he goes to visit David. So the bottom line is we're going to have an issue going forward here. Right now, at this point, David believes that in fact, Mephibosheth is no good and he believes Tziva. As we'll see in three prakim from now, David is going to have his doubts. But at this point, it's not looking good. Looking at Rashi comments on that Gemara, number two on the sheet. How do I make it go up a little bit? There we go. So it says, "Devar mikarm chazabe b'mifi boshes k'shenera g'avshalom v'chazad davar malchusu barafano ro asa ragav osa sorok sava David shenikarm devar tziva shenitzar shechazad davar ro kishiras v'od ha'yimetzav k'shiyoshivu malchus his navi estaper." He says that you know that he has real concerns, right? The fact that Mephibosheth, it seemed in his mind, always really thought that he was going to make it back. He always thought that there was going to come a time where you know Malchus Shaul was going to come back. So that's the reason why that David, at this point at least, believes Tziva. Is he right? Is he wrong? We'll have to wait and see.
But wait a minute. The revolution is not by Bnei Shaul. The revolution is by David's own children. So how is it?
Right. So that's an excellent question. But wait a second. Why in the world would Avshalom give it over? Right? Avshalom's. Right. So the answer is that he was probably hoping that, Avshalom and David would beat each other up. And he, as a third-party candidate, would come in and they'll go back to the old minig. So,
wait a minute. So if that's the case, we have that story with Korach over there, with the wife of the
Ben Pelas.
Yeah, but Pele. So Pele, you know, she gave him good advice. So why couldn't you say over there, you know, they wanted both Korach and Moshe to fight it out, and then Pele would get the reward?
Because he never had a claim, unlike Mephibosheth. Right, this was the original monarchy.
But wait a minute.
Why would they have gone for Om Ben Pele?
But
also,
wait a minute. Shmuel already anointed David. That was published already when we came. We went to Yerushalayim. Everybody joined David.
He was the king, and now they're moving on. Listen, nobody's a king forever, right?
But you know, I am reasonably sure, and I'm sure maybe the whole Tanakh was not written. But if Mephibosheth or David would have been reading the first part, he would have known that the Malchus of Shaul was removed. So it doesn't
add up. David definitely knew that, but it seemed, right? It seemed for a long time that the people from Shaul's family thought they had a chance.
Right.
So, right? I mean, that's why we got Ish-bosheth. That's why, you know, Avner was holding out. A lot of people thought that this David thing wasn't meant to be. Now, of course, in hindsight, he was wrong. So that's the story. Okay, so right now, we know that David has provisions, right? David got some donkeys, he got some food, etc. Right? And now he's ready to move on.
Can I ask a quick question? Technical question?
Sure.
So let's say all of what Ziva is saying is not true, then Mephibosheth would not be in Yerushalayim.
Correct.
Well, okay.
He would be in Yerushalayim. That's where he lived.
Really? I thought he was outside of...
No, remember, he moved to Yerushalayim in order that he could eat regularly with David.
At the king's table. You're right. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
So he was there from the get-go.
That's right. I forgot that part.
Okay. Moving right along. So let's continue. David says, okay, that's it. Forget it.
Chamesh.
Uva Melach David ad Bachurim v'inei Mishem ish yotze mishpachas Beit Shaul shmo Shimi ben Gera yotze yatzon mekalel. As he's gone on the road, he runs into this guy named Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera is a descendant also of the house of Shaul, another member of the family.
Another happy member.
Not a happy member at all. He's definitely, he's probably happy to be a member, but he's not happy with David.
I'm being facetious.
And you can imagine they're walking through a valley, and he's standing up on a cliff, and he starts throwing stones at them. And he starts cursing him out. Get out of here, you murderer. You Eisfarf. Hey, Shimalech Adonai called the May Base Shoal. Asher Malach the Tachta, Vayit Adonai as Malucha beyad Avshalom Benecha Vinchabar Asecha ki Ish Domimanta. You deserve whatever comes to you. You should be wiped out. Your son should throw you out of here because you're a murderer. So needless to say, he was not a fan of David's, and he's sitting there and he's cursing and he's throwing stones at them. Now, the people that were with David had very little patience for this. Bayoma Avishai ben Tsruya El HaMelech, Lama Yikalal HaKelev HaMesa Zeh Sadoni HaMelech, Evra Nova Asiras Rosho. He says, why am I putting up with this? Let me go just chop off his head and that'll be the end of this. Vayomer HaMelech, Ma Riva Lachem B'nei Tsruya, Ki Yekalel V'chi Adonai Omar Lo Kalel as David, Mi Yomar Madua Asisa Kane. David says, what are you so upset about? The fact that he's cursing me indicates that God wants me to be cursed. Because if God did not want me to be cursed, I wouldn't be cursed right now. Says, listen, I got real tsaris. I got my son who's trying to kill me. This yo-yo wants to curse me. God thinks that's a good idea? Let him curse me. In fact, one more pasuk. Ulai yira Adonai be'eni ve'heshiv Adonai litova tachas kilolas hayom hazeh. The fact that I'm suffering through this, maybe that'll be a reason that God will turn his mercy to me.
What was the status of Shimi Ben Gera?
What do you mean by status?
I mean, was he, wasn't he head of the Sanhedrin or something?
So again, as far as we see here now, no. We know nothing about him.
But I mean, we don't know anything about this guy. I mean, so why
is he doing this?
Yeah, I mean, what would you'd always get people, you know, from one side or the other that, you know, the right or the left. There's always somebody that says things that are improper.
This is
so
true.
If he's just nobody, so it's Gornish. If he's somebody, then it's important.
Well, that we say Alte Birchas Hedjad Kalbe Necha, right? If a Gornish blesses you, that's worth something. And if a Gornish goes and he curses you, also that has a certain amount of value towards it.
Also, if it makes it into the story, it's got to be meaningful in some way.
You'll see that, in fact, we haven't heard the end of this yet. So it sits there.
It's in the New York Times next week.
Right. Yep. New York Times, it'll talk about that David incited this. That's how it'll go. So let's just read on a little more. So he's cursing him. He's throwing stones at him. They say, let's kill him. David says, why bother?
Yeah, if the guy's not important, then you don't bother. And second of all, we don't, up till now, I'm not aware that David killed off anybody in Shaul's house.
Not at all. Not at all.
Right. So this guy is either, you know, on the New York Times editorial page, or he is... He's a Democrat.
It's a conspiracy theory.
That's it. Oliver Stone. Oliver Stone's behind it all.
There you go.
There he is. In fact,
a dirty trickster.
He was dressed up as a Viking at this point.
And his father was a judge.
A Frum judge, noch dazu.
Yeah. And this guy didn't go to the yeshiva. He's got a beard, too.
Not our yeshiva. We can't take credit for him.
We're getting very tangential here.
Yes, we are. So one more pasuk, Yud Gimel. Vayech David v'anoshav baderech v'shimi holech v'tzera ha'har v'umaso holech v'yikaro v'yisar v'saka b'avonim v'umaso v'yipar be'ofar. And so they keep on walking on the way, and he keeps on walking across the cliff, and he keeps on throwing rocks, and he's throwing dirt on them, and he keeps on yelling the whole way. A lot to be said about this. One is, what brought this on? So an interesting quote in the Gemara, in number 3 on the sheet, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Ukva, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara Roy L'Soklo B'Evin. Anybody who's involved in Lashon Hara deserves to be stoned. So we saw that the last story was David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hara. So that's point number 1. The Medrash, the Yalkut Shmoni on Megillas Esther, has a very interesting take as to why David doesn't off this guy. It says, number 4, L'fisha tzafa David she'asim l'hogud Mordechai, Amar hayom lo yamos ish mi Yisrael. He said that Shimi ben Gera is important. Why? Because he's going to have a descendant named Mordechai. Right, Mordechai.
Oh, okay, that's a good reason.
Mordechai is from which Shevet?
Yehuda.
I was going to say Benjamin.
Benjamin.
It's called Ish Yehudi, but he's
right. Yeah, Benjamin. Yeah, right.
Right. Shaul is from
Benjamin,
and therefore Shimi is from
Benjamin.
Right. So he says that's why they refer to him as Ish. Yikoshmo Ish Mordechai Ish Yehudi. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu David Ata Itzalta L'Shimi B'Shil Shaul Es Hatzadik Al Shvatecha Ani Kosvo. He says, interesting, because you saved his life. When I refer to Mordechai, we're going to call him Ish Yehudi. Yehudi indicates that we always tricked the cantor. Yehudi sounds like he's from Yehuda. Why did we make it sound from Yehuda? Because if it wouldn't be for David HaMelech from Yehuda, this guy would have been dead. The Meiri. In number five, talks about the idea that is it really appropriate for a king to be cursed out and to let it slide? So the Meiri says, "Kol matam chacham sheino nokim v'nota kenachash kol mashemarim limso makom l'misha bo l'akom alav k'sir hu yishuvachos eino tam chacham." Said anybody who's a Talmud Chacham, anybody who represents the Torah, should not allow an insult to him to go, because they're not insulting him really, they're insulting the Torah. You know, I can say, listen, I don't care, sticks and stones, blah blah blah, but that's for you, that's not for the Torah, right? For the Torah, right, you don't have a right to say I don't care. So the Meiri comments as Klomar. Amy Dussel Kamidas Tamachacham Shoil Lee Carbatos Alzelmar Vide Ma Nana Shaul Al Shamachalas Kvodo. Said, in fact, Shaul was wrong that he let this ride. And so, therefore, this idea that David is letting it ride, it's a little bit problematic. Right? Not for his own sake, but you know, he's David Melch Yisrael. He's David the Talmud Chacham. He should have really done something about this. If you look at the Parasha Sadrachim, that's in number six.
Who is that, by the way?
The Parasha Sadrachim is the person who wrote the Mishnah Lamelech. The same guy. He lived, I think, in the 16th century.
Okay, thank you. I'm not familiar with this person.
It's a fascinating book. It's written in drushes, like lengthy sermons.
Got it. Like the Rebbe.
Kol Amar Tzimi, because Tzei Tzei Ich Adam V'Ich Abriyal, Heshev Alech Hashem Kol Demei Shor Hashem Malach Tachto. Ite Shem Asamurucha B'Yad Avshon B'Necha, etc. Yesh Adak V'Pesukim Iru Tova. He says, you got to look closely at these verses. How did Masha Kostov say, Isha Domim, Isha Briel, Be'ezid Domim, Shafach Domim? What do you say, David? Who did David exactly kill?
That's what I asked.
What? Yeah. What are you cursing him at? David never killed anyone he wasn't supposed to.
Well, the kingship switches. My thinking was that descendants of Shaul could be offended because David took the kingship.
Right, but don't. So to say then that you're an unworthy leader, that you should.
No, I get it. I understand. I'm just saying that people could be resentful of Shaul's descendants.
He's resentful, right? But you know, this isn't the way to curse him out.
I hear you.
So the Rosh says, yes, it's true. We said that he wasn't allowed to build the Beis Hamikdash because he killed many people. But those were the enemies he killed. You can't blame him for that.
That's right.
Mashal Ratz Hashem Shivna Habayis Mishum Dedam and Rab Mishaf of Me'akum Labishem Shalot Din. It's not that he did it wrong, right? Because he did it right. He did what he's supposed to do. Just that if somebody who does that loses their position. And the Radaxis, the Radax suggests, Mashkos Radash Choshu B'dmei Avner. He thought that he had set up his people to kill Avner, which of course he didn't. The Ishboshes, Hinei HaKosav Tzobach V'Hevach. But we know for sure he, when Avner was killed, he was got very upset at the people who killed him. And the same thing with the
people. Yoav did it.
And the people killed the Ishboshes, he killed them? So he says that if you look at the Targum, the Targum gives a different sense. It doesn't say that you killed many people, but you deserve to be killed, he's saying. So he first does it. Says, yeah, but that's not actually a fair translation. He says that everything that happened to Shaul is your fault. So he says it's just very hard to accept that this is actually what's going on. He says, in the bottom line, going to the second page, he says, Valpia Amor. Yisyashi Vakol, who the Shibi Ho Yasavakas first doeg, the Aim Yashol and El Melech Bavad, Vimke Dov Shol, Burim Vitumim, Nase Melech Bachai Yashol. Vimke Kedin also Shol, Sharagas Achim Melech. He says that he was of the opinion that in order to use the Urim Vitumim, you have to be a king. David used it at the time that Shol was still alive, which meant that he was really a rebel. And Nov Ir Kohanim, who helped him out at that point, they deserved to be put to death. And because they were put to death, that's why Shaul was put to death. So therefore, what Shimi was arguing was that David was the one who caused everything to happen. He was the one who caused Shaul to wipe out the Ir Kohanim, and because he caused that, that's what caused Shaul to die.
I thought the Rebbeinu Shalom runs the show.
That's true. So again, the Rebbeinu Shalom runs the show, but you know, if I shoot somebody, I'm responsible for that.
Yeah, I understand, but he didn't shoot. David didn't shoot. It somebody shot. How did David shoot the Kohanim from?
That he caused it. It was his actions that caused everything to happen.
Was it the fact that he bunkered in with them?
Right.
So I want to make sure I'm understanding this. I understand what Shimi Ben Gira is saying, and I understand his belief, and I understand why he's hurling insults and everything else. I want to understand, or do I have to go further in the story? Is that accurate, or that's just his perception?
It's his perception.
Got it. Okay.
Not accurate.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I wanted to double check it.
Right. So, you know, that's the issue here.
Got it.
So, with that in mind, we have a very, very fascinating discussion here. David's statement here is taken by the Sefer Chinuch to be a very basic statement. And it says as follows, right? What we're saying here is that David says, if God didn't want me to be cursed, he wouldn't let them curse me.
Right.
Is that true?
Well, he's done this a couple of times in his kingship when things have happened. If it wasn't supposed to be this way, then it wouldn't have been this way. This is not the first time we've heard him say that.
Right, so this isn't the first time we've heard him say it, but this is an interesting one, right? Because it involves another individual. Right? It involves another person who has a right to make their own decisions. Right. If this comes to a very basic philosophical question, I think we discussed it over the summer, and that's the question of, if A kills B, does that mean that B was meant to die?
We assume so.
So if you assume so, that the fact that someone was murdered doesn't make them die a second earlier than they were supposed to. If that person had not shot them, they would have been hit by a truck, you're saying.
I mean, that's the way the rabbis like to explain stuff.
So not all rabbis. So that's clearly what David is saying. David is saying that, you know, he does not have a right to do it.
But if it was there, it was meant to be, basically.
Right. The question is that, you know, the fact that it happened, does that mean it was supposed to be? Or do we turn around and say, no, I have free will. And my free will can override the will of God.
For how long?
God said you should live.
Well, I understand, but there was a number of cases that, you know, God makes a modification, but over the long time, it comes back to the same thing. I mean, you have the story the king, the righteous king, with Yeshayahu. And he says, you know, the reason I didn't marry because I didn't want to have bad kids. And Yeshayahu says, that's not your business. God runs his own show. So he says, okay, you know, I'll marry your daughter, and on that behalf, maybe, you know, I'll get. So he ends up getting a number one troublemaker.
Right, as Menashe.
So you see from here that even though he had good intentions and he was right, and he followed the advice of the Novi Yeshayahu, and he married Yeshayahu's daughter, and still he gets a child that's the worst king in Jewish history.
This. I mean, that's a matter of saying that, you know, listen. You do what you're supposed to do, and God will do what he does.
Exactly. So that's what I'm telling you.
My free will runs into your free will. What happens then? You know, that's the major question here, right? So the Sefer HaChinuch says when he talks about the idea of revenge, he says there's no reason why anybody should ever take revenge. Why? Because whatever happened to you was supposed to happen to you, right? If you didn't deserve it, it wouldn't happen to you. And this is the proof. David HaMelech said so. The Alshich, without getting into it too much, disagrees, and he says that's not true. That man has free will, and man can hurt you whether you deserve it or not. So this statement of David HaMelech is very important, right? It's quoted in number 7, La Halacha, that this is the reason why a person should never take revenge, right? As opposed to, just to give you the Alshach, I'll just say it outside, right? The Alshach says that the reason why we just had the story of Yosef. Yosef is thrown into the pit, right? What's going on? Why is Yosef? Why did they send him into a pit? They said, why should we kill him? So we throw him into a pit. But the pit has snakes. He's going to die there also. So the Alshach explains as follows. He says, listen, if we kill this guy, it doesn't prove anything that he was supposed to die. However, if a snake bites him and he dies, that means he deserved it. God the snake doesn't have free will. The snake will bite if God tells him to bite. If I kill him, it doesn't prove anything.
Let's take this one level. Suppose that David now approves his general's advice and goes and lets him kill him. So now we don't have the story of Mordechai or what? What happens then?
Yeah. God's going to have to take care of it some other way.
So we have what? A second Mordechai or what? A second Esther? I mean,
Shalom Mordechai ends up with some guy named Phil. You know, whatever it is.
So that proves that God runs the show, so it makes no difference.
Again, it does make a difference. So
if he killed him, and you're telling me now that he would come up with another...
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he was supposed to die.
Yeah, that's right. So if he dies, you say... So you're coming back to the same thing, that God is running the show, and he's making whatever happens, happens.
God is running the show. If somebody shoots someone else, it doesn't mean that guy was supposed to die today. Now, God might bring him back as a reincarnation. God will do what he does to keep the history running. But this guy is dead, even though he wasn't supposed to.
So there would be, what, three assumptions, and Mordechai would show up again? It doesn't make sense to me.
No, I don't have Trias Amazim. You have him come back as a Gilgal or something else.
The whole story would be different. And what kind of groggers would I have?
It would be different. So what's so wrong if it would be different?
I've already made the groggers this way, you know, and the dreidel.
You have to change it. You have to change it.
Spoil my whole outlook. I'm poor.
You have to dress up as somebody else.
Yeah.
No.
Let's press on.
Indeed. Let's skip to number 10. It says the Rambam is very clear, number 10, that Shimi ben Gera could have very well been killed. It says, Kol Reid Melech Bisrael, Yesh Melech Rishus L'Hargo. The king could go and kill anybody who rebels against him, skipping a line. He says, Chen Kol Mevazes Tamelech, anybody who goes and embarrasses the king. Or curses in Yesh Melech Rishus L'Hargo, Kishimi ben Gera. Right? Now, it's interesting because the Rambam is assuming what? The Rambam is assuming that David HaMelech is still the king now. Even though someone else is sitting in the palace. Right? That's not something that we necessarily everybody agrees with. We have to keep it in mind, for the 6 months that David is going to be on the run, who's the king technically at this point?
Just because he's on the run, it doesn't make... I mean, he's been anointed as God's choice as the king. You can't just... I don't think you can nullify it just because someone else wants to stage a coup.
If somebody successfully stages a coup, I think you can.
By the way, I can prove her point. Okay. You know, everybody thinks that Biden is a thing, but Trump is still the president. You know, he's on the way out, but he's still the president.
That's because they stole the election from him, I tell you.
But even if they didn't steal the
election, the guy wearing the skunk pelts, he announced that it's true.
It's true the 19th. He's still the president.
There you have it.
So the point is that he's out. Okay, so you know the Biden, for all practical purposes, is the president going to be president elect? But Trump is the president right now.
I think that in the event, let's say President Trump, Zolzayn Gesund Zayn, will go missing, right? So they'll stick someone else in as the president while he's gone.
Yes, so we have a backup for that.
Right.
But I want to go back to, are you saying that there are some commentators that believe that he's still the king and some believe that he's not still the king? Is that
correct,
where we're going here?
The Rambam thinks he's the king. The earlier source that we skipped over, number 9, assumes that he's not the king technically at this point.
And who's that commentary?
That's the Gemara Yerushalmi. The Jerusalem Talmud has that opinion.
Okay.
All right, let's move along. So, poor Dovin. He's on the run. He's getting the Zionists. So, Yadar Vayava Amelech HaOlam Asher Ito Ayefim Vayinafei Sham. They're exhausted, and they said, let's rest a little. Switching back to Yerushalayim, Va'av Shalom Mechol HaOlam Ish Yisrael Bo Yerushalayim V'Achitofel Ito. Triumphantly, Avshalom enters Yerushalayim, and he's led by his advisor that used to be David's advisor, Achitofel.
This guy's important. He should be in charge of the business.
Yeah.
He's O'Connell. He's the chairman of the Republican leadership.
There he is. Mick Connell, I think. So Hushai comes to Avshalom like he's supposed to, and he says, Long live the king. Vayomer Avshalom Melchushai, zeh chastecha esreyecha, lama lo halachta esreyecha. He said, here you are, so friendly with my father. How come you didn't...
How come you're not loyal?
How come you didn't support him, right? How come there isn't loyalty? How come you jump ship? You're with me now? Yilches vayomer chushai el Avshalom. Lo, ki asher bachar Adonai v'am hazeh v'chol ish Yisrael, lo ayah ito eshev. He says, listen, I support the duly elected king. When he was the king, I supported him. You're the king, right? I'm going to write a book one day, the prime ministers. I'll serve any one of them. That's number one. Vashenis. Me and Avod. Halo lefnei b'no kasher avati lefnei avicha. It's also, it's not like it's outside the family. I supported your father. I support you. I support Malchus Beis David. Vayomer Avshalom el Achitofel. Havu lochem eitza manaseh. So Avshalom turns to Achitofel. He says, no, give me an idea. What should I do now? Ayom Achitofel Avshalom bo al pirag she'avicha asher hiniach lishmor abayis v'shama kol Yisrael ki nivashet zavicha v'chosku yidei kol asher itach. Said, well, you know, your father left his concubines behind here. Why don't you go have your way with them? And that will make a statement as to who's in charge.
So I want to interrupt here. When Avshalom asked for his advice, I read it as he's asking for his advice about Hushai, but it really gets turned on its head here.
No, he's not asking about Hushai. He's asking him in general. What do I do in general? Like, he accepted Hushai, and now he's moving on.
Okay. It again, it's not written, and as I'm reading it, I that was not how I understand what you're saying, but that's not how I read it.
Okay, so now I have a question, Rabbi.
Yes.
The advice given to Avshalom to go sleep with the concubines.
Yes.
A major sin. And it's something that echoes what Reuven did back in the days of Bereishit.
Right. Right.
Now, and in addition, the law is such that even if you sleep with a woman with which your father slept while he was alive. So, I mean, what we're talking about is a major breach of Jewish. Of halacha, but also it's a breach beyond that.
Okay, I'm with you on this.
Decency,
right? Morality.
Morality. Hi, Mindy. I'm not here to defend Avshalom. I'll start with that. But if your father rapes a woman, are you allowed to marry her afterwards?
No.
Actually, you are. The idea that you cannot be with a woman that your father was with, even if it's not your mother, applies only if they were actually legally married. Now, that's why we got a little bit of a tricky case here.
That's very tricky.
Because these aren't the wives, they're the concubines. So this isn't rape, but this isn't wife.
It's a rape with Avshalom.
Right, I mean, but David did not rape these women. It's not like, well, your father raped the woman, therefore it's allowed.
The rape issue lies with Avshalom.
Right. So, look at number 12, the Rambam talks about what is a concubine. So it says here that, in fact, a king has a right to either marry a woman or to take a concubine. This is the opinion of the Rambam, which we'll probably visit at some later date. that the Rambam believes that the rule of concubine only applies to a king. Everybody else is not entitled to have a concubine. What's the difference between a concubine and a regular wife? The Rambam explains, Noshim b'ksuva v'kidushim p'lakshim b'lo ksuva b'lo kidushin. A wife gets a marriage and she gets a ksuba, a concubine does not. Rather, he sets her aside and that makes her a concubine. This is what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says that there is no kiddushin. He never married the woman. She's a concubine. And therefore, that lowers the level here.
Lowers the status. Does he have any responsibility for her once he takes her as a concubine?
So again, she has responsibility. It sounds like that she cannot marry another man.
I'm asking about him.
And he probably has to support her, give her mizonos.
Right.
In the event that the relationship breaks up, he doesn't have to pay a ksuba.
Okay, granted that you don't have to go through a divorce and you don't have to pay the equivalent of antique alimony, or ancient alimony. The fact is that the Rambam here, whom, as we all know, I highly admire, says something that seems to be contradicted by the end of Shoftim, when there is the Belegesh of the Ish from Benjamin, who's raped. And we end up with the war between the tribes.
Right, but they raped her to death. It was murder.
Right, it was rape and murder.
My point is here that the Rambam said only the king can have a Belegesh. And here's another man who's not a king who has a Belegesh.
Right, that's a very fair point you made there. And I said, we at one point we're going to have to discuss this opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion that it's limited only to a king, right? That seems problematic. The answer, just to give you quickly, what does the Rambam say about the case of Pelegesh Begiva? He says that the man who took a concubine was a sinner. He wasn't allowed to. He did it, yeah, but he wasn't allowed to. Ramban, of course, disagrees. That's a very fair question. If you look at the next source, the Medrash here, sees it very different. The Medrash says, Zil hitir gilui arayish v'shichas dam v'shem abachi tofel bo al pilosh avicha. The Medrash says clearly what's going on here is gilui arayis. This is of the serious nature that Jeff and Mindy pointed out and Patty agreed with. Absolutely, that this idea that he went and he told him to do it. It wasn't that it was allowed, but it was a terrible, terrible sin that Achitofel encouraged Avshalom to do. There's a middle opinion. Right, one opinion, the Rambam seems to say it was allowed. It was just a political move. Right, the Medrash seems to say it's awful. It's a matter of one of the three cardinal sins. The Yalkut Shimoni kind of tries to thread the needle a little bit. Look at number 14. Says, "Oh, Pelegesh Avicha Achitofel Hita Oso Hamazel Osova Shehu Melech Vayenosin Eino VeAvshalom." Oh, Bo Pelegesh Avicha. So he says that in fact, Achitofel had a wild plan here. He said the reason he told him to do this is why? He says because he was hoping that Avshalom would kill David, then Avshalom would be killed for doing this, and that would open the door for Achitofel to take over.
Oh my God.
So it's a bit of a Byzantine plot.
Elokimu shenemar avicha, hine imekim alecha rami beisecha v'shachav esnim noshecha. What did he tell him? He said, listen, you have to do this. This is a nevuah. Remember God said to David that someone from within your house is going to sleep with your wives? You have to do this. And that's how he convinced him to do it, assuming that would be the end of Avshalom and it would be good news for him.
Why would he assume that he would move up into the king's space? Why wouldn't it open the door for David to come back?
Well, he was hoping that Avshalom would kill David, as we'll see very shortly.
I see. Okay.
Okay, let's just finish up the perek. It's getting a little late. There's a board meeting coming up. I'm very excited about. I'm sure there'll be good eats. Kofes vayatu al Avshalom ha'oel al agag vayavo Avshalom el pidakshi aviv le'enei kol Yisrael. He goes, he sets up a tent on the roof, and he does what was suggested. And the Navi finishes the parak by saying that nobody doubted Achitofel. Achitofel was, his word was as good as God's word.
Like he's now an oracle.
Right. And therefore, everybody listened to him. And that's the reason people did what they did. And in fact, David listened to him straight, and so did Avshalom. And here's where we are. So David's in a bad place right now, right? David's on the run. Avshalom has moved into Yerushalayim. He's made a very strong statement that he's in charge here. And we'll have to see what's going to be with David HaMelech. Stay tuned.
I want to ask you something.
Yes.
You know, before we Shimei ben Gera, we touched upon it, but we just had it a couple of weeks ago in the Haftorah. In the Haftorah, he tells the Haftorah in Vayechi. So he gives what's his name?
Shlomo.
Shlomo the advice to take straighten things out. So he does kill him.
He's going to get his. That is correct.
So here's the answer that you want.
Ruin the story for everyone, will you?
No. So the point is that he gets his, but he has children which produce Mordechai before there. So that solves the problem.
Correct.
So Purim is going to continue the way it was. It's not changed.
Good news. Okay, I'm going to go get my costume in honor. All right.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All the best.
Erev Tov. Shalom
Leitraot.
All right. Thank you.